Hello and welcome. We're now going to enter into our second lecture tonight on payment systems, commercial paper, negotiable instruments, and we're going to talk about defenses. When someone presents a negotiable instrument for payment, sometimes you are able to have a defense to that. We're going to talk about that tonight. Last time we spoke about definitions, holders and holders in due course, assignees and the rights of those parties, and realized that a holder in due course is the ultimate. They have the ability to have only universal defenses against them. Holders have a whole array of defenses against them. So let's talk about what those defenses are. First and foremost, what is a defense? A defense is a defendant's stated reason why the plaintiff has no valid cause. With respect to defenses and a holder in due course, one of the key reasons for attaining the holder in due course status is to be able to obtain payment on a negotiable instrument free of any underlying problems between the original parties. And obviously a holder in due course is assigned that negotiable instrument through that process of negotiation. And a holder in due course takes that instrument because of his or her status free from certain defenses. You can't raise those defenses successfully against a holder in due course because they take it in good faith, because they take it not being aware of any defenses or any problems with it, that they give value for that. And the law in return gives them special immunity from these defenses. Whether a defense may be raised against a holder in due course, it depends on the nature of the defense. And there's two types of defenses. Defenses that can be raised against a holder in due course and defenses that cannot. The classification of defenses goes between limited defenses and universal defenses. Limited defenses can be used against ordinary holders. They are not effective against a holder in due course. A universal defense, however, can be asserted against either a holder or a holder in due course. Ordinary holders and assignees are subject to both limited defenses and universal defenses. A limited defenses are not available against a holder in due course. They are available against ordinary holders. What are these limited defenses which you can use against an ordinary holder but cannot use against a holder in due course? Ordinary contract defenses, things like that you would have for failure or illegality, consideration defenses, anything you would use in a contract as a defense can be used against the negotiable instrument with the ordinary holder. And you can do that with the ordinary holder, but not the holder in due course. The incapacity of a maker is a defense against a holder. It's not against a defense in the holder in due course. Fraud in the inducement, inducing someone by trick or by fraud, that is a defense that you can use against a holder. It cannot be raised effectively against a holder in due course. Because again, they take this instrument free of these defenses. And because we want this commercial activity that is promoted by negotiable instruments, the law says you cannot raise those defenses. Miscellaneous defenses that they can't do would be prior payment or cancellation of the instrument, non-delivery, conditional or special purpose delivery, breach of warranty, duress, unauthorized completion, theft of the bearer instrument, all of those can be used against a holder. And remember our case last time, remember they stole that bearer instrument, but because the party was a holder in due course, they couldn't use that against them. Remember those bonds were stolen from the bank. And as a result, they said, because they're a holder in due course, you can't use it. Now, if they were ordinary holder, they could have used it, but they can't against a holder in due course. What defenses can be used against a holder in due course? These are defenses called universal defenses. They're defenses that are regarded as so basic that the social interest in preserving them outweighs the social interest of giving negotiable instruments that freely transferable qualities of money. What are they? Fraud as to the nature or essential terms in the instrument. In fact, a person signs an instrument because the person is fraudulently deceived as to its nature. That is a defense. Forgery. If that negotiable instrument is forged. Well, if it's forged, it's not really a negotiable instrument, so you can't be a holder in due course. So as a result, that forgery also is a defense that's a universal defense. Duress depriving control. A party may execute or endorse a negotiable instrument in response to force of such nature that under general principles of law, duress makes the transaction void. Why? Because that's not a negotiable instrument. It's the same as forgery because they're forcing them to sign. Illegality is another element. And alteration. Alteration is similar to forgery or fraud. And as a result of that, those are universal defenses which you can use against a holder in due course. All the other ordinary contract defenses, sadly, you cannot. You won't be successful. Now, how does this work? Next, talk about liability. There are procedures under Article 3 of the UCC, which govern negotiable instruments, for bringing together the parties' instruments and the defenses that determine whether or not that you have payment. Every negotiable instrument has primary and secondary parties. These parties have the following roles. Primary party is the party to whom the holder or holder in due course must turn first to obtain payment. So if it's a check, what bank is it drawn on? If it is a promissory note, who is going to pay it? If it is a draft, who's going to pay it? That primary party is the person who is the drawee, the payer. Secondary parties are parties that the instrument to whom the holders turn when the primary party cannot pay it. Those are endorsers or drawers, people who are responsible on the instrument if the primary payer can't pay. So you have primary parties, they're the people who pay first. The secondary parties, they're the people who pay in the event that the primary party can't pay. Now, in order for the primary party to pay, you have to present that negotiable instrument to that primary party. How do you do that? You physically make a presentment. You physically handle that negotiable instrument and present it during normal business hours, and you will present it. The means by which you would do it is that primary party can require identification of you. They can require an authorization, even a signature of receipts. But in addition, the primary party can demand a valid endorsement before making payment. But you present it, then those requirements can come in. The effect of presentment is the payment, but it also gives rise, once you present it, to defenses. You can't raise defenses until it's presented, because that way you wouldn't have to pay off the individual instrument. But once you present it, then you can make those defenses. If pursuant to those defenses, you don't pay it, that primary party doesn't pay, that's called a dishonor. That means you're not going to pay it. And you can then proceed against secondary parties, or you can sue to make it be honored by the primary party. So you can either go first to that primary party, ask them to pay it. If they choose not to, that's a dishonorment. You can either try to force them to honor it or go to the secondary parties, or do both. Dishonor, you have to provide notice, and you have to provide notice why. If you are presented with a negotiable instrument and you choose as the payment party not to pay it, you have to say why. And you have to give that notice that you're not going to pay it within a certain period of time under the UCC and under state law. A bank, for instance, must give notice of dishonor by midnight of the next banking day. Non-bank primary parties must be given notice of dishonor within 30 days. They're given a longer period of time. Banks are within this commercial context that they should do it immediately, and they do within midnight of the next banking day. What happens when you dishonor something? Upon the dishonor, the holder must then turn to the secondary parties for payment, or, as we said, turn around and sue for the payment of the primary party. The obligation of the secondary parties, once you turn to them, to pay according to the terms of the instrument. The secondary parties have the same defenses that the primary party would. And they will have limited defenses if they are a holder in due course, the same way that the primary party would have limited defenses. You can only use those universal defenses. You cannot turn around and use the non-universal contract defenses. That's it for our liability. Next time, we're into checks and fund transfers, which are interesting. Looking forward to see you next time. Thank you.